Hello, world. It's Alrod.
And Rain.
And today we are going to be talking about one of Rain's favorite films, All Eyes on Me.
Alrod's got jokes, y'all, but seriously, it could have been one of my favorite movies if a lot of things were done differently. Let's get into it. Let's see. All Eyes on Me. It was a 2-hour and 19-minute movie. Did we get anything out of it? Could those minutes, hours and minutes have been used a different way? Let's give you a little bit of background on just where we are coming in as viewers on this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in as a fan who knows Tupac's music. I knew him based on how he was portrayed in the media when he was alive, but his everyday ins and outs and his character, his personal character, I was not up on a lot of that at the time he was alive and into my, you know, adolescence and adulthood. So I'm coming in as a fan of more so his music and media image to this movie, and you're coming in as somebody who really just studied who he was as a person, who happened to also be an artist.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for you guys to know that we're coming in with different lenses of Tupac into this movie, but still walked out with the same impression.
Yeah, for sure.
I walked out of this movie not learning anything new, coming in as a fan who already didn't know a whole lot about him as a person. I went into this movie expecting to learn more about his legacy, his character, and him as a person. And I've learned more about him from Alrod than I did from that movie. Yeah. So I think it's important that we start with that, that I'm coming in as somebody who has a pretty much surface level knowledge of Tupac. So you would expect a biopic to give me some sort of new insight or takeaway, even if it's just one or two things. You know, I'm a step or two above someone who has like never heard of Tupac.
Yeah.
When it comes to walking into this movie. So you would expect for me to watch a biopic and be like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That did not happen for me. And that's when I knew there was going to be a problem. That's when I knew that that movie was a problem for me, because I didn't walk away with any new insights. And to answer your question of how far into the movie before I realized what we were about to sit and endure, it was the first 10 minutes. And the reason I remember that is because the first 10 minutes cover like the first 16 years of this dude's life.
Yeah.
I remember it specifically. It's like he is in the womb at a Black Panthers meeting, moves to Baltimore, gets his first notebook. All of that happens. First 10 minutes of the movie, he's already at Baltimore School of the Arts.
And I feel like those first 10 minutes kind of encapsulate everything that's wrong with the movie, because you get snapshots of moments from Tupac's life, but the movie does not give you enough time to feel anything. So it's like we see Afeni pregnant with Tupac, rubs her belly. Okay, you got that she's pregnant and she's carrying Tupac. And cut to him like just sitting in a Black Panther meeting as a young boy.
And, no lines.
No lines. And there's nothing. The problem is there's nothing that gives you any kind of impression about who he is. And the movie doesn't give you anything to emotionally connect to any overt characteristic of his that we like come to know Tupac for, like his militants. We don't really know. Well, I mean, we know because, you know, they pay lip service to Black Panther ideology and imagery, but you don't know what his personal connection is to it.
Correct.
They they show him with a notebook, but you don't know what prompts him to write his first rhyme. What
prompts Afeni to even gift him a notebook?
Or, yeah, to even give him a notebook.
How would you know a notebook is something that he would want if you could only give him one gift? We don't get that.
You talk about how he's a lover of Shakespeare and stuff, but you don't see what he's reading. You don't see what informs any of his artistry at all. And that's probably the biggest problem with this. It's like, what motivates him to write his first song?
And what was his first song?
And I think for me,
we don't even get that.
Yeah, for me, as someone who came in knowing a lot more about Tupac than you did, I feel like it was just more egregious because I saw where there was dramatic potential to dramatize so much more to really understand where he came from. Like, I remember something Wendell Pierce said in an interview where he said, the more specific you are in your writing, the more universal your themes become. And in this movie, there's no specificity to anything. It's all just so vapid and surface level. And it just, I feel like it had no hope of really tapping into that part of yourself who wanted to know, I don't know, who wanted to come in, who wanted to get more of like the inside stuff that's not so exalted in the media about him. And like to see other elements dramatized that just isn't so in your face or easily found on Wikipedia, you know?
Well, and I think the way the movie starts for a viewer like me sets you up to believe you are about to learn something new or deep about Tupac.
Yeah.
Although I think it was an unnecessary framing mechanism for this movie. Oh my God. They start this movie with the prison interview. Mm-hmm. Of Tupac when he was locked up after his charges for forcefully touching the buttocks. Mm-hmm. So while he's in prison, they did a special interview. And so they're reenacting that to start this movie. And it just irks my nerves that they start with this prison interview and the interviewer, I word for word says, all I'm trying to do is tell your story. And then that fades into starting your timeline. And I wrote this because we've rewatched it a few times to make sure that, you know, we're covering all of our gripes here. But The interviewer says, all I'm trying to do is tell your real story. And then we spend 90 seconds on these courthouse steps when Afeni gets out of prison and Tupac's in her story and she's over-directed and acting way too over the top to be a Black Panther woman.
Man.
Then that transitions to 50 seconds of a speechless, I'd say, what is it, 4-year-old Tupac, who's watching Mutulu speak at a Black Panther meeting, but this child says nothing, and Mutulu says nothing just overly extravagant to let us know that it's going to impact little Tupac. And then that's 50 seconds. And then the boy's like 9 years old.
Yeah.
And saying he's going to be a revolutionary, and we have no idea why.
Why, exactly. And that's the thing. Everything in those beginning segments, it's just so generic. It's like they just have Mutulu up there. You got to stand up. You got to stand for something. And it's like,
he could be standing up there saying 2 + 2 = 4. And the crowd would have just been cheering because it was that level of just superficial speech that he was giving.
Absolutely. Like, no specificity whatsoever. And the actress who's playing Afeni, she's not a bad actress.
She is not at all.
So it really just calls into question the directing. It just seems so weird what they have her doing at certain points in this movie, because I feel like they have her really playing into this stereotypical kind of image of
angry black woman,
but it, to me,
but
it's
caricaturist.
Just, yeah, the reason it comes off so caricaturish, I think, is because in Afeni's public appearances, she doesn't have all that going on. It's just
she's subdued.
Yeah, very subdued energy.
She's very direct. You know, you can tell she has
a spark there. Yes. There's a spark,
but she's not shouting at you.
Yeah, it's when she talks to you.
Even if she's defending herself after, you know, a question, you know, asking that, you know, a question that she feels, you know, is an improper question. You know, she's not you don't feel like she's attacking you.
Yeah.
When she responds to you, the real Afeni.
Yeah.
But the actress who's playing Afeni, it feels like she's been directed to be hostile in some scenes.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not who she was. Just because she was a Black Panther doesn't mean she was just this hostile person. And
don't get me wrong. Like, I know that there were members in the Panther Party that were rightfully angry. And, you know, that style of delivery of the message was definitely there, but I don't know, to me it just seemed extra.
Like, whatever she is portraying, whatever emotion they want her to portray, it's got to be the most extreme of that, whether it's disappointment or in her addiction or in defense of herself, whatever it is, they want her to do it in the most extreme way, and it's too much.
Right. Yeah, and just speaking more to the just the sentiment that this movie just doesn't allow you to feel much of anything. We move from Matulu getting taken in, and they move. We see Afeni come out of a room, and she's clearly like deep in the throes of her addiction. And you don't feel it. You don't feel like the breakdown of the family.
You don't feel what led her there.
You don't get a sense of what led her there. They spend time
giving
you a sense of, okay, Afeni is Tupac's mother. But
yes, you don't gotta give you that fact.
You don't understand her enough as a character to feel the breakdown of her becoming an addict.
To add on to that, it's like You start with us seeing her as this, you know, albeit kind of angry feeling, but a strong Black woman who was able to defend herself. And then when Matulu gets caught up in the law and they have to move to Baltimore, now she's an addict. How did she get from that strong woman on the courthouse stairs to that addiction? And how did that impact Tupac and his upbringing? Because there's no inkling of like his mom becoming an addict, the lifestyle that they had to live, his housing situation. Like, we get no inkling of his poverty.
Yes.
Because of his mother's addiction. And he had to carry that on him to a Baltimore School of the Arts every day to try to overcome.
Yeah.
We don't get that.
That is a critical element of Tupac's story, is just the depth of poverty that they were in. And the movie gives you no sense of that.
In that movie, you think they move to Baltimore and he's just making it because he's at Baltimore School of the Arts.
Yeah.
And so, man, he is on his way. And it's like, no, he went home to a room without central heat and air that was a patio closed up for him to sleep on a floor.
Right.
We don't get that. We don't know that he is coming from that home. He's picked to be at Baltimore School of the Arts, and the School of the Arts is his saving grace. Mm-hmm. It's because he got into Baltimore School of the Arts that he was able to overcome. And there was no inkling there that he was coming from these throes of life that could easily tear anybody down. But he was overcoming every day at Baltimore School of the Arts, succeeding in theater and memorizing Shakespeare because he actually enjoyed it and not because it was an assignment. Like, he became a student of the arts despite going home to literally nothing every day. Not knowing if there was going to be food when he got home. Not knowing if his mother was even going to be there when he got home. Not knowing if they were going to have their utilities or any of those things. But every day he was a student of the arts.
Yeah.
We don't get that. We see him recite one Shakespeare line with a head tilt.
Like, oh,
and Jada's in the audience like, oh, you think you're somebody because you got the lead.
Oh, snap.
And now we're moving to California.
He's an actor now.
Right. And it's like, what is his mother going through and how is his mother's battle impacting his everyday life? And it's like, you are not stopping to let anything breathe. You are not showing me any, like, transformational moments in Tupac's life to show me all of the layers of character that he had. And we didn't get to spend time seeing how each of those layers was developed.
Yeah. I agree.
I think
a big problem with it is that even with 2 hours and 19 minutes, I think we're settled on the fact that that's just not a sufficient enough time to do, I guess, what I would consider to be a peak job of capturing Tupac's life sufficiently.
I agree.
I think at the very least, you need some kind of miniseries
format to do Tupac.
Although I would say almost a 10 episode like season of a Tupac story would be ideal for me.
Yeah, if you want to do what All Eyes on Me was setting out to do, which was literally give you his entire life story from the womb to his demise, you would need a good number of episodes.
Yeah.
And you can't separate 2 hours and 19 minutes and break up, what, 25 years?
Yeah.
Sufficiently. You can't do that.
No, I feel like Tupac's story is one of, I feel like if you dramatize it with enough time, I feel like it has the potential to be just one of the most compelling tragedies just ever put Absolutely. On screen. But if you're just coming at his story just saying, I'm just going to put something out there, and
I just want my name on a Tupac movie.
Yeah, then
that's what this felt like. I want to be the one to say I did the Tupac biopic.
Yeah, and that's how it comes across with this. Yeah. Because there's so much potential in just so many parts of his life. And what strikes me about this movie is that, I mean, there have been so many documentaries about Tupac. So many interviews upon Yes. interviews and other people's interviews. And there are just certain scenes in this movie where, like, there are certain people's retellings of events in an interview that sound way more dramatically powerful
Yes.
than the actual scenes.
Yes.
Like, there's a Shock G interview
Yep.
where he talks about
the court
this
case.
Moment in court where
where he's speaking to the judge.
Tupac is like, he's frustrated with the judge who, like, just never looked at him and could tell that he wasn't going to give him a fair shake at all.
In search of justice,
and,
right.
Yeah, and Shock G's retelling
of that
is so much more dramatic and powerful than the actual Demetrius. Scene in the movie.
Ugh.
It fell so flat.
Oh,
it fell so flat.
And that is the case in a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
Especially when it's just Tupac. Like, when he's out on the sidewalk interview with all the journalists around him, and he's just bouncing around, just feels like a caricature of, like,
because you've seen it. Because you've seen it. I think that's the issue too. Is like when they're actually reenacting things that have actually been out there in,
and you've seen the two.
Yeah, it's like we didn't see that moment in court anywhere.
Right. Right.
But it still blows my mind that Shock G just recall of that was better. But it's like that interview, we've seen that. So it's like you can't outdo Tupac when we've seen
when we know like, what Tupac
when
looked
we know what he did. Like that was real frustration. That was true. It's yeah. hard. It's yeah. hard to recapture that.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think they were kind of maybe they didn't have to do that. Like there were just certain things they just.
I don't know. I think directed differently, it could have been okay. Mm-hmm. Like I can see why they included it with the you know it's around the court case.
It's his delivery.
Though, but it's the I was gonna say delivery. It's the delivery. It's like. A good director would have heard and seen how this dude was delivering it and been like, wait a minute, hold up. No, why are you talking like that?
It's
why
awkward.
Are you bouncing
it's
like
awkward
that?
Awkward in certain spots.
Like,
it is
his
awkward.
Voice sounds weird. His mannerisms are weird. And I'm just like, I'm uncomfortable watching it.
I think also the anger feels real forced. He doesn't
he does this like huff
thing.
In his yeah, voice. That's supposed to be the communication of I'm angry right now.
Yeah, it's not
it's
worth
like
it.
That's not what anger sounds like.
Like and I think hearing Tupac after I mean I've heard that interview so many damn times, so I'm used to kind of his rhythms in that interview. Right. And like seeing Demetrius like try to recapture it, it's just it does not work, man. It just doesn't work.
Something else that doesn't work, and I need to know, like, if physical therapy was a part of, like, Demetrius's contract after the movie wrapped, because I think somebody on the set at some point said, you look more like Tupac when your head is tilted. Because his head was tilted a good 75-80% of this movie.
All the time.
And I just hope that they let him get some free like massages or something to work whatever kinks out that I know he had to have had in his neck and shoulders by the time they wrapped.
Dude.
Because he was making my neck hurt.
I know. It's so distracting, man.
It's
like
Tupac
all the time.
Didn't tilt his head every single time he spoke.
I mean, it halfway makes me want to go and look back at
watch
Tupac
every
footage.
Interview.
But
and
I
video.
Do not. I don't recall it either. I'm just like I don't know if that's just the angle they thought he looked.
Thought he
most
looked
like
most
Tupac
like him.
At,
so he said they just told him keep your head tilted and
was,
we you Tupac.
Yeah, that was wild. Man.
But it drove me nuts because
yeah.
there are so many times. How
I
many times have you watched that? And I'm just like, pick your head up.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't even look natural in so many scenes. It's one thing, like, if you're in a setting and, like, the angle, you know, calls for your head to have to be tilted. You know, but, like, if you're just sitting at a table, like, your head to be up straight. Why you got this, like, 45-degree angle in your neck every
yeah.
time you're talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
it was
damn
bizarre.
It's damn near every scene, almost.
I'm trying to think of a scene like. Where his head wasn't tilted. And I am struggling right now. Like,
yeah.
that's how much it happened. It's like,
yeah, it's weird.
I don't know if that was a director's idea or if, like I said, someone just said, you look less like Kobe and more like Tupac when your head is tilted.
That's the other thing. Like, he looks like Kobe. In a lot from a lot of angles, but then there are spots where I'm like, oh man, he looks.
He
like,
has spots where he looks like Tupac.
I think if it had to be anybody, like if they were going to try to nail the look, Demetrius is the closest.
I think yeah.
they ever would have gotten. That's why I think they fucked up so bad because I'm like, you're not going
like
to get
you,
that again.
I was like, you can't try to go back and do another. Movie now with a different actor after you put Demetrius
yeah.
in as him because anything else is just going to be subpar in looks at least
yeah
so even if you can find someone who can act closer to what Tupac was and write the story better looks wise I feel like you've already used like your top
yeah.
candidate. I will say that the kids they chose to play Tupac in this movie were terrible.
I don't think the I'm a Revolutionary Kid was that bad.
Really?
The young kid looked nothing.
Well, the young kid looked, I mean, he didn't have any lines, but he also just looked like, are you here right now?
Yeah.
Like, are you actually listening to Matulu standing up here in this meeting?
Like, no, yeah, he wasn't. He didn't look engaged at all.
It was like, sir, do you know you're on set right now?
Yeah,
like,
he's just.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just there. I was waiting for him to drool or something because
yeah.
he was just like, they are staring, and I'm like, is he even in the scene?
Yeah.
You know? So, but he didn't have any speaking lines, so I can't say much, but I don't know that I'm going to be a revolutionary kid. That line delivery was terrible. It was not convincing.
It was weird, but I feel like he kind of looked like a little Pac. I feel like if you gave him more to work with.
I don't have a problem with how he looked. I have a problem with how he spoke.
Yeah, I think it was just that line for me. I don't know.
No.
I feel like it could have had potential. Like.
For me, for you, yeah. For me, it was not just that line, because when she was like, did you read that newspaper article?
He had
to like recap what he read and give him the summary. Yeah. I was just like, it just sounded like he was just trying to remember the words.
That was rough. Yeah,
that was rough. Like, because he wasn't on screen for very long. And so the amount of lines he had in the short amount of time we spent with him, I felt like more of them were poorly delivered than well delivered.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree. I forgot about that other line.
Yeah. Did you read that name? Yes, ma'am. The so-and-so and then the so-and-so. And it's not like he was just trying to get the words out before he forgot them. And I'm like, are you actually like telling us that you synthesized what you read in that article?
Yeah.
Or are you just like telling us, like, you know, you're giving us a gist statement of what you read, but did you actually get it? You know, it did not come across as like something he internalized.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I had a problem with the kids they use. I mean, it was only the two kids.
But, yeah, and they weren't there for that long, so I couldn't really complain about them too much, because it's not like they didn't really do shit with them, to be honest.
They did it, but if you want us to understand that was the, especially the, I guess he was supposed to be like 9, I can't remember, but like if that's the period where you want us to understand that he was starting to get into writing, because that's when he was that kid when he got that notebook for Christmas. Like, if you're giving us this scene because you want us to see this is where he first started writing and creating, you got to give us a better child actor.
One thing that I think just really sucks about it is, like, when you think of a lot of biopics out there, I do think most biopics suck. Just generally, I just think they
don't think they're done well.
I just don't think they're done that well. And
but there have been better ones than this.
There have been better ones, but for the most part, they hit familiar beats, and you're just like, okay, where's the bad contract scene come, and like but I feel like a lot of them, at the very least, give you a good idea of, okay, this was who this person was, this was the public persona, this is why they were significant in pop culture, whatever, blah, 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 the end. But I don't even think All Eyes on Me does that part well.
It doesn't.
Like, just on a superficial level?
Nope.
I'm trying just to think from the perspective of a newcomer that does not know Tupac anything.
At all.
You won't know the name of all his albums.
All of the friends that he had that were also in celebrity, like that were celebrities.
You won't know shit.
Nothing. And, like, how much, for me.
And that's just the superficial shit.
Right.
It's like, they don't even do that well enough.
For me, the shocker, or like the walk away from that movie should have been, wow, he did all of that and died at 25.
Right, right.
That should have been the impact of when you left there, they told you a story of someone who had lived twice as long than he actually did.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk out of that theater and you're like, okay, he was a rapper and he got shot and died.
Yeah.
And he happened to make two movies in there. We got Above the Rim and a terrible Juice reenactment. Like, it was all that, y'all, the Juice reenactment is laughable.
And you know,
it was like some SNL level reenactment.
It really was.
It was like a parody.
It really was. And what sucks about it is they picked like the most iconic scene from that movie.
Oh my gosh. Like, Tupac had a lot of scenes in Juice, y'all.
It's like, why
and
did
you pick one where it's just him and you?
Why did you pick that? Because it's like, you're setting yourself up for failure already. Because the way Tupac delivered the I don't give a fuck, it's like having anybody else try to even do that. It's like, why would you do that?
And then on top of the Juice reenactment, the way he got that role, we get none of that. And I feel like that's even more special.
That was crucial.
I feel like that's even more crucial than just knowing, like, he killed it in that role. But the fact that he stumbled into that role because he went with his friends to the audition, mm-hmm. we don't even get that. Y'all don't even, like, if you don't know Tupac, and you just see, oh, okay, he acted in Juice. It's like, how did he get that role?
Yeah.
He didn't show up to audition for that movie at all. He was going with friends. Mm-hmm. And he walked on to be auditioned, and it only made sense for them to give him the role.
Yeah. And
it's such a disservice.
To be fair, though, I think that's definitely a scene I would have in there had I had my Tupac miniseries.
Right.
In a movie, you got to be a little more economical. And I don't know. But yeah, it's like his first like major film.
Right.
So it's like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if you're going
to
tell us
he
is branching into acting.
Yeah.
He is not also, he's not only trying to be a musician, but he went to the Baltimore School of the Arts. He is classically trained. He is a theater kid, and he wants to dabble in movies. You have to do that well. Because I truly believe if he didn't die as young as he did, he could have transitioned from music and been all movies. Not just in movies, but behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hands all in
screenplays.
It.
He could have been directing.
He could have been directing, writing, acting, producing, all of that. If his life wasn't cut short. And so if you are going to show us his transition or his beginnings in Hollywood as an actor, you have to do that justice. Because Juice is what started that, and the way he got to Juice tells you how talented he was. The way he got to the role of Bishop lets you know that he was destined for greatness in film. And then there are other things where you put it in because the whole event or relationship was extremely meaningful in Tupac's life. But you give it 10 seconds in the movie, and we don't understand how big of an impact that actually was on Tupac. For example, him meeting Layla when he gets to California.
Yes.
Layla was so much more than just someone who ran a poetry circle and set him up with an audition. But that's all we get in the movie is, here's this lady I happen to meet. We don't even see them meet. It's literally like two lines of, man, Layla, poetry night, I got you an audition. And that's all we see of her ever again.
I think she gets less than 40 seconds
she gets
of screen time.
Less than a minute on the screen. And this dude was sleeping on her couch when he had no place to stay.
Yeah.
She was like working for this man. She was out here. She didn't just go to one person and be like, hey, I got this really talented kid, give him an interview. But she was out here like managing him because she believed in him. And she was putting in that work to get him to the point of having the audition for Digital Underground.
Exactly. And that just goes back to the movie just not allowing you to feel anything, because we have Tupac is your main character, but he's just kind of coasting through this movie.
He's just there
like
as reenactment.
You don't get a sense, and it really just feels like just minor touchstones from Tupac's life, and just there's no the drama of it. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel big.
No.
Like, there are no moments that feel big. It's like...
And Tupac was big.
And one...
As a person, not like... Like, he was so much.
Yeah. And something that's said about Tupac on the regular, like, even today, is that... This is the irony of the movie, honestly. Like, people say Tupac made you feel him.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember that, yeah.
Tupac was like, his music was emotional. It's like, when you look at kind of the lineage that Tupac's approach to hip-hop came from, like, you're going to look at people like a Cube, a KRS, that, like, just had these narratives and cautionary tales, mm-hmm. but they still had an emotional distance yes. when it came to the way they approached the song.
They approached like, it from more of like
these a are spectator.
The, right, right.
And like Tupac was in it.
In it. You are feeling it. You are living it. This and is the yes. lived experience and, in rap.
Right. And it made yeah. it, that's his legacy. Like it made him more vulnerable. And it made vulnerability in rap music like a thing.
Yeah.
And it is so ironic that this movie does not give you that feel at all. Like, there's just an emotional disconnect to everything.
I feel like that watching this movie is like suffering through whiplash for 2 hours and 19 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it is just whipping you through like point A to point B to point C to point, like, it's just there's it that disconnect just makes it feel so abrupt in each transition where it's like, okay, how did that connect? How did that connect? How did that connect? Why am I here? Now we're here. But what about this? It's like you get us to each of these periods or these moments, and I'm not understanding how we got here or how he got there. And why do I need to know this? Mm-hmm. Why are you showing this to me? What does this mean for his impact? Like, you don't make a movie about somebody without wanting people to like see why they were worthy of a movie being made about them.
That's the thing.
You watch this movie, and by the time it's over, it's like, why did he need a movie? And when it's Tupac, like, those who know Tupac, you know why he needs a depiction in film. I won't say a movie because I agree that it should be some sort of series or miniseries. But yes, he is a person who needs to have his story told. But you watch this movie and you're like, this dude was nobody. He was just another rapper.
That's the thing. It, like, really, when the movie ends, I mean,
he sold some albums and he died. Right. Like, that's what, like, I get from this movie.
You damn near want to ask, like, did the people making this even like this dude?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's what, like, the do heck? They know what he did?
Like, they just. It just feels so regular.
Oh my God. It's so yes.
regular. Like,
more, I get more out of Tupac Resurrection than I get out of All Eyes on Me.
I say definitely watch Tupac Resurrection.
If I want to learn about all of, like, or at least, you know, most of the layers of Tupac, I get all of that from Resurrection.
Yeah.
Versus this. Like, a lot of what I know now or that I have added to my knowledge of Tupac as an adult is because of Tupac Resurrection, and then I took it from there. Mm-hmm. All Eyes on Me will not motivate you to want to go out and explore more about who Tupac was.
Absolutely not.
Tupac Resurrection, I watched that. Yeah. I watched Tupac Resurrection, and I want to like dig deeper into yeah. things that I saw in there to see how far Tupac was able to take it in his short life.
That's a great litmus test for quality.
All Eyes on Me. I walked out of that theater and I don't need to go look up anything else because you didn't take me anywhere.
Yeah.
You didn't intrigue me enough to want to be like, I need to follow up on that fact. I need to know what he turned that into. Oh, I want to know what that looked like in action. Like, there was no inquiry that was motivated or sparked for me watching All Eyes on Me. But Tupac Resurrection, full of things that I wanted to go out and look up. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, he did what? And then I wanted to go read about it or find the longer version of that footage or whatever it was. All Eyes on Me didn't get me to want to answer a damn thing. I didn't want to touch Google for nothing other than who the fuck is Benny Boone and why he did this.